It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. What happens when young people get into trouble at school? In many cases, it can lead to a kid dropping out of high school because there's no place to turn for help. But there are alternatives to quitting school altogether. As part of 90.5 WESA's Life of Learning initiative, the Phase 4 Learning Centers have been referred to as the last chance high school by many of the students in attendance. The school was created by Terry Sawika Reed to help at-risk students who are having trouble succeeding in traditional school settings to complete their high school education. Many were having trouble at school and others were planning to drop out. I'm joined now in Studio A by Terry Sawika Reed, the founder of Phase 4 Learning Centers. Welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here.
And also joining us is one of her former pupils who is now a mentor at the Learning Center, Merle Thompson, a 2000 graduate of Southside Beaver High School, who was a member of Southside's WPIAL championship football team. Merle Thompson, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Glad to be here, Paul.
If you'd like to join the conversation, you can join us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. If you were an at-risk student or the parent of one, we'd like to hear your story, as well as comments or questions at 412-246-2002. Our email address is essspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at essspgh and follow the conversation at hashtag EPLive. Again, the number 412-246-2002. Terry Sawika Reed, why did you create Phase 4?
Well, thanks, Paul, for having us here again today.
Our pleasure.
The reason, a few things, life-changing opportunities. Things happened in my life that led me to starting Phase 4. And one was that I was diagnosed with terminal cancer in 1989 while I was working in the corporate world. So I went through a protocol study that was headed up by Dr. Fisher at UPMC and fortunately survived in 89. And I thought in 1989...
One of the few, apparently.
Apparently so, yes. And in fact, actually, the protocol study is what changed the treatment today for women who are diagnosed with breast cancer. So I was pleased to be a part of that study and, as you said, to survive. But when I survived the breast cancer, I decided, what did I want to do with the rest of my life? And it was to dedicate my life to helping kids, to do something different in my life that would make a difference to the students, to the children, to their families, to the communities.
And you had been working, as you said, in the corporate world. And you were transferred. You had transfer orders to go to Germany, I believe it was.
I did. I was offered a position at the corporate office for Honeywell in Duisburg, Germany, or to take a severance pay. And I chose to take the severance and go back to college, which is what I did. I went back to Franciscan University and earned all my education degrees through attending that university. But it was then that when I was doing my student teaching, that they placed me at Harding Middle School in Steubenville in a sixth grade classroom, that I had an opportunity to meet Merle Thompson, who was a student at the time at Harding, and I ended up mentoring Merle. And that is, his life opened my eyes to see how uneven the playing field is oftentimes for children that we're trying to help. And he had so many life challenges that it truly opened my eyes and my heart. And I just immediately was taken in a different direction to working with disadvantaged, at-risk youth.
And describe Merle's situation as you came upon him. And he was how old when you first met him?
Merle was 12.
Which is really hard to imagine because he's a full-grown man sitting here.
He's 32 today.
Yeah, right. So 20 years ago, he's 12 years old. And when was the first time you met him?
The first time I met him was during English class, which where I was student teaching. And he walked through the door, a disheveled look, clothes a little bit too big for him. He had no pencil, no paper, no notebook. But one thing he did have was he had this smile that was just contagious. He had this great smile and a desire to learn. But because in a traditional school, if you're not prepared for class, that can be a hindrance to the rest of the class. So usually they separate those students who aren't prepared. Oftentimes they do. And so Merle was asked to go into the hallway and sit and do his studies in the hallway. And that was at that time that I started to tutor him, mentor him, and help him learn that he could learn and that he could be a part of his class and be very successful.
It seems odd that someone would decide that, here's a student who obviously clearly is not being supported, probably does not have the support from home that he needs to be successful in school. So describe or help us understand the thinking that goes along these lines. This kid isn't ready to learn. I'm just going to put him out in the hall.
Sure.
But, for lack of a better way of putting it, what's up with that?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And, he was unlike so many, like probably 60% of our students in school, where they have so many challenges at home and in their personal lives, that to come to school is something that they want to do, but they're just not always prepared and always ready to just drop everything on a doorstep and walk in and be able to learn.
This is back to school time, so yes. We're seeing these ads for parents, get your kids ready for school. And what most of our parents did growing up was take us to, okay, do you need pens? Do you need a book bag? My mother we'd go through that routine in the weeks leading up to school, and that's what most kids understand. But what we also should understand is that there were and are children like Merle was at 12 who maybe their parents didn't get them the things they needed, like the notebooks and the pencils, so therefore they were unequipped for and at that point not ready to learn.
Absolutely, and I think it goes back to one of the basic principles you learn as becoming a teacher is that Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and the basic needs have to be satisfied before you can go to the next level. And basic needs are food, clothing, shelter, safety. Those are the basic needs. And oftentimes many of our inner city youth are met with such survival challenges that those basic needs have to be met in order for them to survive and have an opportunity to learn and to grow and to be successful.
So was Merle assigned to you, or did you simply say, did you identify someone that you wanted to help?
Well, after the second day of him being asked to go into the hallway, I asked the cooperating teacher, I said, do you mind if I help the boy who's in the hall? And she looked at me kind of quizzically and she said, Merle? I said, yes. And she said, okay, if you want to. And it was her hesitation. And with all due respect, I think that she had taught for nearly 40 years and had seen so many inner city youth come through her classroom. And she had given her heart and her soul to these kids her whole life. She was well beyond retirement age, but she knew that I think in her mind that you just couldn't save them all. And that if I wanted to try, I was more than welcome to. And she said, sure, absolutely, go ahead and try. So I remember the day that I went out into the hall and I said, hi, Merle. I said, I'm Mrs. Reed. And he said, well, I'm Merle. I said, I know. And I said, and I'm here to help you. And his comment to me was, why? And I said, well, because I think you're pretty special. And it was that look that whenever Merle said, or when I said, I think you're pretty special, and he looked at me, it was that he didn't equate himself with that word. For some reason, I think he saw himself as possibly not special or not deserving of the additional help. But he was, and all of our children are today. All the children who face these challenges, every child needs support. They need options. They need mentoring. They need someone to start to build a relationship with them so that they can see that you can believe in them until they themselves can then believe in themselves.
So Merle, if you can kind of put yourself back in your 12-year-old self sitting out in that hallway, and I think we can all remember a moment, in school, the awkward moment when you're asked to stand in the corner or whatever thing, some of us used to be asked to do. You're out in the hallway. And so what's going through your mind as this lady approaches you and offers to help?
It caught me off guard. It definitely did. It was more I was more in shock, surprise. And I was wondering, if she really meant it and what did she mean by, help, by her wanting to help me. So I didn't even really understand what it meant for somebody to want to, really truly help somebody. So I didn't really know how to accept that. But you know, down the line, I didn't really know how to open up, and so to somebody wanting to help me, and so once I seen that it was genuine, you know, I just could look at her eyes and look at her face and just tell it was authentic, and so that just actually made me I had walls that was built, I guess, built up, and so that I actually instantly just you know, just dropped the walls of how I was feeling, and you know, made me open up to her and, you know, feel accepted. So it felt really good.
And how did her tutoring help you?
It helped a lot because it let me know that it showed me that somebody cared. You know, where she, I knew that she could be inside the classroom helping all of the other 20 people, you know, instead of being out there with one person and, you know, focus on me and give me the attention that I needed. So, you know, it showed me something I never really knew about.
And as far as, you know, some of the things that you might have had difficulty understanding when you were in the classroom setting, how did that one-on-one attention help to open up your mind, help you make connections in your mind to help you learn?
Well, that one-on-one attention actually, it was great because it made me feel good for the simple fact that it was hard for me to learn, to be able to learn in a, you know, in a setting with a whole bunch of people. So it was easier for me to, you know, have that one-on-one. I never had one-on-one before. It was always a classroom setting. So once I got the one-on-one, and I didn't know that I needed that attention, but once I've got that attention, I knew that's what I was missing and what I needed. And so it was definitely a whole new aspect.
Do you think that you would have gone on to be the football star and the success story that you were in high school without Terry?
No, absolutely not. No way possible. Because I was going down the wrong roads.
Such as
just it was a reality, but I didn't know my reality was, you know, not the my reality wasn't what it should have been. My reality was more, it was okay to, you know, fail. It was okay to, you know, not do what you needed to do. Just do what you needed to do to survive, you know. So it was just a really good situation for me to see a different aspect of somebody caring about me and so on.
If you hadn't ended up in this particular situation with Terry and in a situation where you were able to learn, do you think you would have stuck it out through high school or would you have dropped out?
I probably would have dropped out because I didn't have any hope really. And so once I was showed hope, I had my vision was clear to see, you know, that doors could be open. So I definitely wouldn't have been able to succeed in life without, you know, the love and seeing a side of life that I didn't know.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and my guests are Terry Suica Reed, the founder of Phase 4 Learning Centers. Also joining us, whom you just heard, one of her former pupils, who's now a mentor at the Learning Center, Merle Thompson, a 2000 graduate of Southside High School and a member of the WPIAL championship football team from that school. You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. We'd like to have you share your stories with us. If you were an at-risk student or know someone who was, perhaps in your family, maybe you were the parent or are the parent of an at-risk student. Share your story with us and your questions about a place like Phase 4, which is considered the last resort for many students who are having trouble in high school. And for you, Terry Suica Reed, after having this experience with Merle, how did you then – it clearly opened your eyes to some of the possibilities that you could explore as a teacher, but then there's that reality of you know, making from a business standpoint, making something like Phase 4 work. So then how did you put that all together?
With a lot of luck and a lot of prayer and a lot of dedication from people. But it's interesting to see how all the pieces fit in order to put Phase 4 together. It was, if I had not been ill in 89, I probably would not have returned to college or met Merle. So by meeting Merle, he was the like the springboard that catapulted me into alternative education and into helping at-risk disadvantaged students. And because of our relationship that we've developed, been able to, with my co-founder, Kathy Micolay, and with the staff that we created, and we're able to secure, we were able to form a nonprofit organization in 2003, and we actually did it within 13 days, 2003, and we started Phase 4 Learning Center, received approval by the Pennsylvania Department of Education to operate as a private provider of alternative education services. We partner with local school districts, and now we are statewide. We're from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia with six schools, approximately 80 school districts who partner with us, and they refer students to us who need additional help, who are at risk of dropping out. So we have a direct impact on the graduation rates of those school districts, because then the youth who come to us remain a student of that school district, but yet they go through the programming through Phase 4. So they earn their own high school diploma, not a GED, and it's not a Phase 4 certificate. It is their own high school diploma. So it impacts the graduation rates for the school district. It decreases the dropout rate as well. And we have a 98% graduation rate statewide of our seniors, which is pretty incredible.
It is.
Quite proud of my staff. I'm extremely proud of the students.
It is. It's an incredible story, and we need to take a break. But when we come back, we're going to find out how you make this work, which is the next big question to explore, is what is the story behind, and maybe not the secret, but certainly the answer to the success behind Phase 4. We are talking about this particular school, which is viewed by many as a last chance high school by no less than the students who attend that school. And we'd like to hear your story. You can join the conversation 412-246-2002 with our guest, Terry Sweeker-Reed, the founder of Phase 4 Learning Centers, and also Merle Thompson, who is a graduate of the program and now a mentor with Phase 4 Learning Centers. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we are talking about the Phase 4 school that you may have heard of, the Phase 4 Learning Center, that is viewed as a last chance high school by the students who attend it. It is a school that enables many to complete their high school education in a setting that is an alternative to classrooms and high schools where many students struggle and oftentimes drop out. With us in Studio A, Terry Sweeker-Reed, the founder of Phase 4 Learning Centers, and also Merle Thompson, who again is a 2000 graduate of Southside Beaver High School, a member of that WPIAL championship team at Southside Beaver, the only one in the history of the school. And he is now a mentor at Phase 4 Learning Centers, joining us in studio, and we'll hear more about how he helps kids the way that he was helped years ago by our guest, Terry Sweeker-Reed. Terry, you mentioned the success rate of Phase 4 Learning Centers. The question is, how do you do it? What are the things that you are able to enable these students to do that they're not able to do in terms of reaching their potential in a regular high school setting?
I think the formula is pretty simple, but yet it's complex as well. It's all about relationships. Everything in life is about relationships. You and I meeting, Paul, the people that we meet and we interact with all throughout our lives. So you build relationships with people, and we do that with our students. So even though the students may feel this is last chance high, we tell them this is their, it may be in their mind their last chance, but it's their best chance in order to have a future, because we believe in them. We truly get to know each of the students. And some, it takes a little longer because, as Merle stated earlier, he had built up walls. Even as an early age of 12 years old, he had built up walls that were difficult to get through. And we deal with students. We work with students grade 6 through through 12th, and even the students who have dropped out of school who return to our diploma retrieval program, you still have to find what makes them tick inside. What's their passion inside? And what's their life like? And let them know that we're not prying. We're just trying to build a relationship so that we can provide them support to help them to be successful, whether it's with their academics or their social issues, maybe some behavioral challenges that they have, and aspire to their future goals, what they want to be in life, and show them that they can accomplish this with the right support, the right network. They can do anything that they want to do and become anyone that they want to be. And we try to keep them on that positive track. So we work with the students literally to develop relationships in a complex way, however, because you really have to work through the various issues that they're dealing with on a day-to-day basis.
How do the parents react?
Oh, my goodness. They are just elated. Truthfully, the parents are so grateful to have their child have this opportunity to earn their high school diploma, have a plan for their future, and to become contributing members of their communities. And as every parent, I believe, every parent wants their child to have a better life than what they have had. And many of our parents have struggled as well. And so they want their children to succeed. And that's an accomplishment in their eyes. That's the with the parents that we deal with. But many of our students, though, I have to point out, they may come from broken homes or they may not have homes. We've had many students who literally were homeless, sleeping under bridges of Pittsburgh, who would come to us.
Teenagers,
absolutely. Teenagers just going day to day trying to get something to eat, trying to have a safe place to lay their head at night.
Why is that happening, though? I mean, anybody who's under 18, society should be looking after that child. Essentially, as you know, these are not adults. Why are they on the street?
Yeah, I think the key word is should be, but that often doesn't happen.
Do we know why that is?
Well, there's just a breakdown. There's a breakdown in society. There's a lot of pressure on kids today. There's a lot of peer pressure. There's a transient population. There are a lot of home issues, just a lot of disconnects that happen in a child's life. And in those formative years, it's critical that you have this connection piece. And so that's key for us at Phase 4 to recognize those disconnects. And we have to find out where they became separated from the support systems that they had so that we can put the pieces back together. And oftentimes it is reuniting them with family members. Sometimes we're reuniting them from states away. We've united some of our students from who have been with us on the East Coast, and their family may live on the West Coast. But oftentimes, kids just alienate themselves at times because their challenges are so huge that they don't know how to face them or how to address them.
Don't know how to ask for help.
And they don't know how to ask for help. And they don't know, as Merle said earlier, don't always know or recognize what help means.
412-246-2002 if you'd like to join the conversation. If you are an at-risk student, if you are someone who was an at-risk student or the parent of an at-risk student, we'd like to hear your story. You can share it with us at 412-246-2002. Talking with Terry Suica Reed, the founder of Phase 4 Learning Centers, and also Merle Thompson, who's a mentor at Phase 4 Learning Centers. Terry, who are the teachers or the people that staff Phase 4?
They're people who care, and they are certified educators, counselors, administrators. Some are former public educators from the public school system and have retired. And they wanted to come back to donate their time and their life to the students that they never really had the time for because of the structure of a traditional school day.
And a lot of people might be wondering, how are you funded?
Okay, we're funded in a couple of different ways. For the alternative education program, we're funded by the school districts. They pay a percentage of their state allocated money that's received from the state to Phase 4 as a tuition per student. And that's for the students who are currently in school. The out-of-school program is for the students who are 16 years of age and older that's funded through the Three Rivers Workforce Investment Board through a federal grant.
Phase 4 learning centers are located in shopping centers. How come?
Oh, shopping centers. Neutral territory. Very comfortable.
Neutral territory.
Absolutely. Comfortable places for parents, for students. If you want to help kids, where do you find kids today? Where do they usually gravitate towards? Usually shopping centers. So the majority of our sites are in shopping center located areas, and it works extremely well.
Why do some students do better with you than at traditional schools?
I think, Paul, probably one of the reasons is because of the time factor and that we have the students longer in the day. And Merle had pointed out to me the other day when we were speaking about students, in a traditional school, you have the students for possibly 45 minutes a day to 90 minutes a day. We have them for the duration. So we're able to develop more of a relationship and really get to know them and allow them to get to know us. So I think that that's one of the key factors. And the second is our approach. And I always say it's all in the approach. It's in the approach with no matter who you meet or what the situation is. So our approach is a little different. It's a very positive approach. We roll out the red carpet for the students and their families when they come to us. Every day is a new day. You start with a clean slate. Nothing that happened prior to is ever against the child. So we really try to build a good, strong, solid family network within Phase 4 and then extend it into the child's life and into their own family life.
I want to bring Merle Thompson back into the conversation again. Merle, you ended up being a success story, graduating from high school, being a star athlete, as well as a student. I'm sure a lot of people are curious about what you did after high school.
Well, yeah, after high school, I went to a local community college, CCBC, where I live at, and I studied criminal justice there for a year and a half. But I'm a single father of three kids, and so I was unable to finish up that role because of the role that I was playing at home.
Trying to take care of your family.
Absolutely, absolutely, which I was blessed to have the opportunity to be doing, you know, to be in that position to be doing from, you know, from the things that I went through in my childhood. So I'm just, you know, glad to be here to be able to do that. But I'm so that's what I've been doing. I graduated high school. I did a year and a half of criminal justice, and I'm just raising the kids right now.
And you're also a mentor at Phase 4 schools. Talk right. about what it's like to be in that role.
Oh, that's a really great role to be in because I'm able to relate to the kids, you know, through my situation growing up, so I'm able to relate to where they are at times in their life, and so you know, and they respect me tremendously, and I respect them. So it's, you know, I'm a little bit young, and so I have like a you know, young mentality. You know, I like sports, baseball. I can relate to a lot of things that they like, and so it's a great opportunity for me as well as it is for them to be mentoring them. Because I can see where they're coming from.
And Terry, did it seem like Merle would just be a natural at this?
He is a natural, absolutely, definitely. And, you know, it's like you don't always need a college degree. Nothing against college degrees because I'm all pro education. But you have to have the right personality. You have to have the right connections and that passion, that calling within you to meet the needs of those who you're trying to help. And Merle has it. You know, he has... As he said, he's blessed to be able to raise his three children and to be a very critical part in his kids' lives, which he didn't have growing up. That was a very absent part of his life that impacted him for a long, long period of time and helped him to build those walls, actually. So he knows what he didn't have, he's able now to provide to his children and make a better life for them. And he does that at home, but he does that with our students. And it's just incredible, the text messages, the reaching out, the phone calls he will receive at 3 or 4 in the morning. If a student's in trouble, if they need help, whatever's occurring, they have his number. That's the best way I can say it. They've got his number and they use it.
And what does it mean to you, Merle, to be able to help young people?
That means the most to me because, you know, it's always good to give back. Especially going through what I've been through, and I'm able to understand what these kids are going through, and to understand their needs socially, the social needs and you know, some physical needs. I understand that a lot. So I'm honored to be able to be in a position to help them. And, you know, and it's a give and take, because they're also helping me as I help them. It helps me because knowing I'm doing something good in my life to help them, it also just gives me a joy, that unspeakable joy, knowing that I'm helping them as well as they're helping me. So it goes both ways.
Terry, we're just about out of time, but I wanted to have you share the doorknob story, if you would, with us.
Absolutely. We meet a lot of great kids, an awful lot of inspirational kids. And we had this one young man who came to us who was very, very intelligent, just had an issue with disregard for school authority. And he was with us for a while and graduated through our program. But he was quite a prankster, and he was always stealing the doorknob from our office. So when we would go in the office, he would strategically unscrew the doorknob and we couldn't get out. So we'd have to wait for him to come back with the doorknob on. And he did. Well, this young man joined the Marines, and he was a phenomenal soldier as a Marine. And he was – so what we did was – we mailed him the doorknob when he was deployed. And we said, it's your job. Your mission is to return this unharmed to us. And when he returned, it was at a day that we weren't expecting him to be back stateside. And the door opened, and here was this young man with us in his uniform and the doorknob. Said, ma'am, I'm returning this to you. And he was perfectly fine. It was great to see him. Tremendous success stories by so many of our kids. You know, we have, as I said, a 98% graduation rate, but approximately 13% of our graduates, well, they're graduating from their high school, 13% enter the military. So we're very deeply and grateful for their service to our country. And approximately 40% go on to higher education, and the remainder secure employment. So it's a 100% placement of all of our individuals that we help earn their high school diploma.
Terry Suica Reed is the founder of Phase 4 Learning Centers, and Merle Thompson, again, is a Southside Beaver High School graduate, member of that 2000 WPIAL championship team. Thanks, both of you, for being with us and sharing your stories with us here on Essential Pittsburgh today as part of our 90.5 WESA Life of Learning initiative.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
Very welcome.
Coming up, contributor Rebecca Harris talks about coupons. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.